Have you ever sculpted before? Don't worry, neither have I. It's the Ricardo Project, and today we're talking about Lucy Becomes a Sculptress. Hello, my beautiful Tropicanas. Welcome back to the Ricardo Project, the podcast where we watch through I Love Lucy episode by episode and talk about its historical, emotional, and comedic impact. My name is Dana, and I'm so glad you joined me today for such a great episode of I Love Lucy. Season 2, Episode 15, Lucy Becomes a Sculptress, the last of the pregnancy episodes before we head to the hospital. So let's just dive right in. So we open with Lucy again being up too late, and late enough that Ricky is coming home from the club. It's getting a little tired at this point, honestly. I feel like every single one of her pregnancy episodes is the same thing. Like, Lucy's up in the middle of the night and Ricky's upset about it. But like, I get it. They need reasons for the two of them to kind of like, you know, be doing specific things. Anyway, whatever. Such a silly thing to get hung up on. This time she's up because she's wondering what the baby's going to look like. So she's like, she and Ricky are going to look at some very cute and real, authentic photos of each of them as like little kids and babies. They are so cute. Desi Arnaz looks the same as he did when he was like two. It's kind of wild. So then they're flipping through some more and they see Lucy's great-grandfather, which is very clearly a staged photo because it's so much more modern looking than the ones of them as children, but whatever. And it turns out that he was an artist. And Lucy starts talking about how wonderfully lucky their baby's going to be because he's going to be surrounded by all the music from Ricky and art from Lucy's side. But as she's saying that, she realizes that if he wants to learn about art, they're not going to have anyone to teach him. So Lucy decides that she is going to become a fine artist so that she can teach the baby art if the baby wants art. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is like such a classic first-time parent thing, having only been a first-time parent, never a second-time parent. I just, based on my talks with people who have multiple kids, you don't worry about this kind of stuff the second time around as much because you understand that it doesn't necessarily matter. They'll figure it out. But Lucy is very concerned. She wants to be sure that she can teach her kid whatever, so she heads over to the art store. Yeah, an art store. And she starts looking at everything. She's kind of fidgeting around. The salesman comes out and she, you know, she says maybe she wants to try finger painting and she like wiggles her fingers. It's very cute. And then he sees her hands and he says, "Stop. Those are the hands of a sculptress," which is very, very clearly the beginning of a con. But, you know, Lucy is an innocent. She's so sweet. She's also pregnant, and pregnancy brain can really get you. So he hands her a big piece of clay. He has her like fidget with it a little bit. She starts squeezing it until it looks kind of like an angry abstract sculpture of the Sorting Hat from Harry Potter, and he stops her. She's clearly not done, but he stops her and he tells her it's perfect. She asks if she did something wrong because he stopped her so early, and he says, "Was Michelangelo wrong?" To which she responds, "I don't know," which is very funny and just goes to show how little she truly knows about art. I love it. I love every second of it. He brings out the owner of the store, Mr. Abbott, who immediately buys into the con and starts telling her that it's a masterpiece and that he is just so honored to have her in his store and that, you know, she's a genius. And they basically tell her that she has to buy all the stuff, 50 pounds of clay, etc. She just gives him an address and leaves. She gives him a blank check. She says, "Send everything I need to this address," which is wild. Wild that she was just like, "Yeah, go for it." I can't imagine. So the minute that she leaves, he says, "Put that piece in my private collection," and they throw it into a bin. I mean, it's obviously this big scam that works very, very well. I mean, they sweet talk the crap out of her. Mr. Abbott kisses her hands and tells her she has a gigantic talent, that, you know, this is going to be in his personal collection, that he would never sell it. The sales guy tells her at one point, because she says she just squeezed the piece together, he says, "It's the way you squeezed it. The world is waiting for a squeezer like you." It was so funny. I watched this episode with my husband, by the way, who kind of pops in and out. he's not a super fan. He definitely respects the show. I kind of pick which episodes to show him because he has a more like abstract sense of humor. He loves slapstick and kind of big things. So like, I thought this episode would be perfect for him. And he was just like, these guys are such jerks to her, but he loved that line. He thought it was so funny. So we get back to 623 East 68th Street. Lucy is in this whole artist getup and she's ready to go. She's in what she calls an artist smock and a tam. Ricky comes in to take a look at her sculpture and he can't figure out what it is. He thinks maybe it's a boy and a dog or a girl and a dog. And then Ethel comes in and, you know, Lucy's like, well, tell him what it is. And she can't figure it out either. It turns out it's a child at his mother's knee. And they go in and Ricky says, oh, look at the cutest expression on the child's face. And he goes to like give it a little like, oh, you're cute. And she hits him and tells him that he's been coochie-coochie-cooing at the knee. It's very, very funny. I think I have a copy of this scene and I'll share it in the show notes if I do. So she complains that she didn't have a model and that that would really help her. She convinces Ethel to be the model. She tries to make like a little facial bust of Ethel, and it does not go well at all. It's a head that's kind of weirdly misshapen, but the ear is in the middle of the face. The nose is at the top of the head. It's very abstract. So Ethel storms out. She finally decides she's all done with this. She doesn't want anything to do with it. She wants to do a full body shot of Ethel. It's not happening. So right at that exact moment, Fred walks in and Lucy sells him hard with the flattery. And what do you know? The next thing we see, my beloved Fred Mertz, again, the ridest or diest of all of them in certain ways, the truest friend, the most believing. He is in long johns that are buttoned all the way down to his damn feet. They look like my kid's footy pajamas. And he's holding a pie plate and he's in like a Greek discus action shot thing. It's very funny. And the statue that Lucy is making of this is like really gangly and limby, and the hands are really big and the feet are really big and it's all floppy. And it's at this point that my husband got really defensive of Lucy Ricardo and was like, these are not that bad for a new sculptor. And honestly, if it was just 5 years later, she would be a hit in the modern art scene. And everybody needs to leave her alone because we've seen stuff at the MoMA that is far worse than this. I mean, he was really gunning to support her. It was very sweet. And I actually do kind of on paper, by the way, agree with him that if she was trying to be, you know, not a classic sculptress, but maybe like a modern sculptress and selling it as like ironic or like challenging what is art, I mean, she would be successful. But that's not what the point of the sitcom is about. But I did think it was very funny how defensive he got of her. Anyway, Ricky comes in and of course he laughs at Fred for being a good friend. And Fred tries to leave, but he can't actually stand up. He can't break because he's been standing in that position for so long, his body froze that way. And we get a great physical comedy where he just kind of walks out in repose, in his little pose for the statue. It's super, super funny. It's a really, what I like about this episode, and I'll go into it in my reaction more, is that every single person gets kind of their shining star moment, except for Ricky, who's just a straight man all the way through. But every member of the Fab Four plays a critical role in the episode and gets kind of their star scene. And I like that a lot because even though it is an episode really driven by Lucy, it's really nice to see it as an ensemble piece. I feel like the pregnancy episodes have been a little 50-50 on the star, on the balance of the cast, and this one is really fun. It really shows that the four of them are this like really tight family unit. So at this point, Ricky's like, you have to quit. This is bad. And Lucy's counteroffer is, cool, well, I need a professional model because Fred's not a professional. She believes in herself. It's beautiful. And so Ricky says that he'll bring home an art critic that he seems to know somehow. And if the critic says that she has talent, he'll let her get a model. And if he says that she doesn't have any talent, she has to drop it. And they agree. And it's worth noting, actually, I missed this at the beginning of the episode, but it's worth noting that at this point, they have 3 weeks until the baby is due. So this is happening like 8.5 months pregnant. I mean, she is like down to the damn wire. I don't know how she has the energy to do anything, but whatever. So Lucy decides that for the art critic, she's going to make a bust of herself. She's going to make a full head, like a classic plaster mold. I know how this works. So basically what you do is you take plaster, you take some sort of plaster, something kind of hard that you can like chip away and peel away ultimately. Now we have this really great product that is kind of spongy in it, and it's like a terrible like hardening foam. But in the day, she's using plaster of Paris. So she's going to cover her whole head in it. Then she'll take it off. She'll like fill it with cement, and then she'll break the mold away, and it'll be a perfect replica of her head. However, there's a few issues with this. First of all, she has no idea how she's going to breathe, and while she's making the plaster of Paris to do this with, she gets her arm stuck in it. So clearly, she's a little out of her element with this particular material. So instead. She does something incredible. We don't find out until later when Mr. Harvey, the art critic, shows up, and he comes in to the apartment with just a card table set out with a cloth on it, and then another thing covering the bust. And Ethel is there. Lucy is not. She says that she had to run out, and they think they're going to wait for her, but then Mr. Harvey says that he doesn't want to. He prefers to be there when the artist isn't, so that he doesn't have to like hurt their feelings in front of their face. So Ethel takes the cloth off of the statue, and we see a beautiful and very lifelike bust of Lucy Ricardo. She looks peaceful. Her eyes are closed. There's great detail on her hair. It looks perfect. And Mr. Harvey is blown away. He is like, oh, if this is an example of her first work, I mean, Ricky, you're married to a genius. And Ricky is shocked too. He's like, wow, that's actually pretty good. And Ethel is so proud. She's bragging about how Lucy, you know, had put up all these mirrors around herself so she could capture herself from every angle. I mean, Ethel is really talking it up. Mr. Harvey has to leave, and he cannot stand the idea of leaving such an incredible piece of art behind, and so he asks Ricky if he can buy it. And at that exact moment, we get the big reveal. Lucy's eyes snap open. She's hiding under the table, and she's painted her face to look like a bust, and she has to be silent, but she is doing so much with so little. Her eyes are huge. We see the panic instantly set in just by this simple motion. And Ethel immediately is like, no, we're not going to sell it. And Ricky says, no, he couldn't make that decision without Lucy being there. And then Mr. Harvey offers $500, which according to Dana's inflation station, which we haven't visited in a while, that's almost $6,000. I'd sell it too. Honestly, that's a lot of money. And keeping in mind that things just fundamentally cost less than their like modern day equivalent, like for example, if eggs now cost $6, they would have cost like $2 in the 50s, like when adjusted for inflation, like things were just all over cheaper back then. This is probably like at least 6 months worth of rent, you know, maybe even more. So Lucy then really begins to panic once the check starts getting written, and we see her eyes just going in circles, trying so hard to get Ethel to like check in with her. They're writing the check. Everything is going silent, and Lucy turns her head and looks at Ethel like, oh, you better figure this out. So Ethel panics, but she jumps into action, and she tells Mr. Harvey he really needs to take a second look at the statue because it's just not worth $500, and she starts messing with it. She says, don't you think the mouth should be a little different, like this? And she pokes Lucy's mouth so that it's all out of whack, and it's not pristine anymore. One of her lips has to be raised, and Lucy does an amazing job of holding it in place. And then she says, oh, shouldn't the other side be lower, like that? And then the mouth gets even crazier. And then she says, it's all too wide, too. Shouldn't it be squished? And she squishes Lucy's face, and Lucy has to hold her face in a squinched part. And Ricky's yelling at Ethel that she's ruined the painting, but Mr. Harvey is not deterred. He's like, you know what? It's still good. It's still fine. And when Mrs. Ricardo's a famous sculptress, this is going to be a collector's item. Thank you so much. And he grabs the bust to take it with him, and Lucy screams and stands up and reveals that she is, in fact, the art. We get this great final image of Lucy trying her best to maintain the sculpture face while being just a standing body wearing a table. And that's the episode. So, what did we think? I love this episode. I think something this episode does better than most other Lucy episodes up to this point is that every single scene has a big comedic moment in it, except for maybe the first setup scene. There's been a lot – we've talked a lot about kind of the structure of Lucy plots. It seems like it's like we get a funny setup and then a denouement and then another funny setup, or all the funniness is at the end. This is really, really consistent. We have the opening scene where we learn what the plot is. Then we have the great scene in the art store. Then we have a really funny scene where Lucy shows Ethel and Ricky her piece. And it's like, haha, it's not that good. Then we get a little bit funnier when Ethel's face is so destroyed. Then we get even funnier when Fred is in the position. And then we get this hilarious catapulting into another dimension when Lucy is the statue. It's really well done structurally. It's a great example of just rise, 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 rise. They set everything up really well and pretty economically. There's no giant explanation scenes. It really moves along. And I honestly think that the final scene in this episode needs to be taught in comedy classes. The performance that Lucille Ball gives when she's the statue, or the bust, not the statue, when she's her own sculpture, her isolations and her eyes and the way she like quietly tilts her head towards Ethel, which, by the way, my husband thought was the funniest thing he did. That was the biggest laugh in our whole watching experience, especially for my husband who had never seen this before, was the moment where she just very subtly turns her head and looks very calmly at Ethel, like, you need to get in there and fix this. He thought that was hilarious. I think this is a really great example of the technicality that comedy requires. I've seen a lot of actors, especially like in my training as a clown, who kind of get really unwieldy. And they think that this like wildness quality, is what makes them funny, you know, this kind of anarchist terror thing where it's like, oh, we don't know what he's going to do. You know, he's so free. And that is true. There is something about comedy. I actually just read this really interesting article about Jim Gaffigan in Vulture that said something along the lines of, you know, comedy at its best makes you wonder if we could tip into anarchy at any moment. And I understand that to a certain point. I think that that's a really interesting concept. And I think we could talk about that until the cows come home. But the point that I want to make is that I think less experienced comedians and comedic performers will try to tip into anarchy very quickly. They think that the more hell breaks loose, the better the comedy, especially when doing anything that's like slapstick or physical. And then, you know, from a verbal standpoint, that comes as like the more risque the joke, the better. And what I love about this scene is that this is an incredibly funny scene. And your top comedic performer has a tight frame to work with. It's only her face, and she can't do too much because it will expose her. And so you can see how much isolation and she's required in her face, and how much specificity and rhythm and intentionality matters in comedy, because all of these things that she's doing do not necessarily, you don't think of that as like funny. You don't think, oh, you know, she is turning her head to look at Ethel, or like her eyes are going really fast in a circle, or her eyes pop open and it's so funny. And all of these things are funny because they're absurd, but they're also funny because they're incredibly well done. Lucille Ball, and we've talked about this a million times, I do apologize if I'm repeating myself, but Lucille Ball's technicality, her technical work, her rehearsing to the point that it's rote inside her body is really her greatest talent. She had charisma. She was so funny. She was so smart. She was an incredible performer in so many ways, but ultimately, I do believe that what truly set her apart from all these other talented performers is that she took it incredibly seriously. She spent the time. She did the work. Some people would say she worked too hard. She pushed it too hard. She was too much of a task horse. I think we saw that side of her really exposed and really explored in Being the Ricardos. And while I didn't really like that portrayal of her, I thought it was a little one-dimensional. I do think that it was great to explore the fact that she didn't luck into being funny. And that's kind of a misinterpretation of funny people, is that they're just clowns and they're just being silly and it comes easy. But really great comedy is a lot of trial and error, a lot of rehearsal, and getting it so deep inside your body that you don't have to think about it. That's why it seems so easy, because by the time you see it, it is easy for them. But the workload is really, really high. And this shows just how incredibly good she was at it and how much time and energy she had really put into that skill set. So I think if you're going to watch a scene of I Love Lucy that's not kind of one of the big ones, to demonstrate Lucille Ball's real capabilities and skills, this is a great one to do. It's such a good scene. It's such a strong showing. And it's a really strong way to end the pregnancy episodes. You know, I didn't like last week's episode. I love next week's episode. I actually, spoiler alert, that episode is already recorded for a very good reason. Actually, we talk about this episode a little bit in that episode, and I don't necessarily have all the hot takes I had today. And now you know why. It was recorded actually before this one. Again, for a very good reason, which we'll discuss shortly. But I think it's a really strong ending. You know, it kind of shows us like that even though Lucy's about to become a mother, she's still her, and that this new version of Lucy as a mother is still as rambunctious and ostentatious and fabulous. And I think this kind of really pushes home that we're still going to have the shenanigans, which we've seen in the previous episodes, but I just think that this one really kind of sings the loudest and is the strongest of the pregnancy episodes so far. With that in mind, let's move on to some historical notes, and then we'll wrap this baby up. So this episode is actually based on an episode of My Favorite Husband called Liz Becomes a Sculptress. And as we know, My Favorite Husband is the radio show that I Love Lucy ended up being based off of, and a lot of the creative team was on both. As we discussed at the beginning of the episode, the pictures of baby Lucy and baby Ricky are real pictures of Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, and those pictures... two of them, the one with Lucy with the giant bow and the one with Ricky kind of like in like a little cute little smock. They had those hung up in the office at Desi Lou, and they were labeled our president and vice president, which is very, very cute. Just a little technical, not a goof, but just like a fun technical note is when Mr. Harvey tries to pick up Lucy's head, you can see that she's wearing some sort of a cap on her hair, like a wig to simulate the plaster. And when he picks it up, it can move a little bit and you can kind of see Lucy's hair beneath, which is just fun. I tried really, really hard, although probably honestly someone's going to know, and it's going to be proven that I didn't try as hard as I could, to find out who posed as Lucy's great-grandfather. I have this like weird Mandela effect memory that it's Jess Oppenheimer or one of his kids or someone related to the series, but I cannot find it. So if anybody knows, I would love that. Thank you so much in advance. Hit me up on Instagram or on email, and that'll be at the end of the episode or it's in the show notes as well. So next week, we will be watching the big one. Lucy goes to the hospital. Little Ricky is coming. So here's the log line for that. With the baby due at any moment, Ricky and the Mertzes carefully rehearse the trip to the hospital. But when the big moment actually comes, things do not go quite as well as they planned. And I'm very excited to share that we have an incredibly special guest joining us for this episode. And I will not reveal who she is, but we will start the advertising soon. So stay tuned, hang out on Instagram for that. But that's again why it was recorded early, because we had to fit into a very busy person's schedule. But I'm super, super, super excited for her to join us. And I just can't wait. It was a really, really fabulous conversation. And I sincerely hope that you enjoy next week's episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. So that's it. There are lots of ways to support the show, but the very best way to support the show is to rate and review an Apple podcast. The second best way to support the show is to buy a book on Bookshop, which will give us a small commission and get you a book you really like. You can buy it through our Bookshop shop, which helps the show and gets you a book and supports a local bookshop all in one. So it's fantastic. There's a link for that. You're going to hear all this though in the outro, which is going to roll right now. Thank you so much for listening to The Ricardo Project. It means more to me than you could possibly know. If you enjoyed this episode, please take the time to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. We would sincerely appreciate it. If you'd like to get in touch for any reason whatsoever, I would love to hear from you. You can reach me on Instagram at The Ricardo Project or by email at TheRicardoProject@gmail.com. There are lots of other ways to support the show, by shopping on Bookshop, by buying minimalistic I Love Lucy merch, by tipping one time on PayPal. If you'd like a Patreon, I'd be happy to start one, but only once. I am super consistent with the show because I want to make sure that you feel like your money is getting spent well, but please let me know if that's something that interests you and I can let you know when that happens. Thank you again so much for listening. We'll be back next Thursday with the big one, Lucy Goes to the Hospital.